Hi, welcome to part 7 of the MVC storefront. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we're building out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET MVC. My name is Rob Connery and I work for Microsoft. You can email me at any time with any questions at robcon@microsoft.com. You can also leave a comment on this blog. I'd like to start by going over some feedback I received on my blog, as well as by email. First and foremost, people are still having an issue with the name repository in the data access pattern I'm using. I don't want to get into a naming debate on whether this is or is not the repository pattern. What I would like to maintain is that I'm following the spirit of the repository pattern, which is to abstract various responsibilities of the data access to make it more testable. Hopefully by the time all is said and done, we can agree on a name where everybody is happy. Others can't wait till my data access pattern explodes. I think that's pretty pessimistic. I'd like to remain optimistic about that. But I think the idea here is correct, that hopefully if I'm remaining agile and it does explode, I can do a quick 180. Next up, someone asked me about the demo that was supposed to be happening yesterday, which was Wednesday. Today is Thursday. And the client called me repeatedly and asked where the demo was. No, actually, in truth, I had the site actually working and done yesterday. The problem I got into was that I started talking to Scott Hanselman about routing, and I got a lot of great footage that I started to record here. And if you know Scott, he's got a lot of great things to say, and he added so many nuggets of wisdom that I thought it would be really, really important to capture it all. And what ended up happening is that I ended up splitting the episodes in two and kind of doing production work here and making sure it's digestible and easily watchable. It takes a little bit of time, so I fudged the day a little bit. Hopefully you guys are going to forgive me for that. But there's no excuse there. I am late by a day, and what I want to do now is I want to move on, get back to working with the UI, doing helpers and some CSS work as well as routing, and let's get started with that straight away. One of the first things I'm going to want to do as I refactor out the code that comes with the template is to remove all of these statically coded links here. One of the main reasons is as I build out routing, I'm going to start losing all kinds of relative references and absolute references as the URLs are changed with the routes that I create. Now, the first thing I could probably do here that actually works is I could just copy and paste in page.resolve URL. And with this tilde here, this is all of a sudden going to become a root relative link. I could do that. The problem that I have with this is that this is supposing that this folder structure is always going to stay the same, and I'm starting to put in strings here, and I don't really want to do that. What I'd rather do is have one spot handle all this logic. And I'm sort of going to use a Rails convention here, the don't repeat yourself kind of deal, and I'm going to implement what they call helpers. And helpers are one spot locations or one single location for any kind of view logic you might have. So I've added a folder in here called helpers, and inside of it I have one called app helper. Now I know that a lot of folks might think this is insanely generic, and what am I thinking with this? And again, you know, I'm just following a convention that's already out there and done. App helper is sort of a helpers for all the entire application, all the controllers, but you can also have helpers specific to a controller. So one that I might have in the future for like a catalog controller might go get me a thumbnail image or a product image or something like that, or might even work out some logic with when to display, discount price, etc. So if I open up the app helper page here, you can see it's pretty simple. It's just a collection of static classes and properties here. And I have a property called content root, which refers to this folder here. And it's just simply using the virtual path utility to make an absolute URL to that content root. And now what I can do is build on that. I can have image root and CSS root that build on the idea that I'm going to have an images and a CSS folder inside that, which I am in just 2 seconds. And then I can also now create some URLs really simply here just by creating some methods. So if I come into the content folder, first thing I'm going to want to do is to arrange this so that inside here I have a little bit better structure. Alrighty, so I just basically divided these things out by folder. And now what I can do is I can come back here to my master page and I can remove this. And instead of using this right here, what I'm going to add in is a simple call to app helper, and then I'm going to ask it for a CSS URL. And then in here, I'm just going to say site.css. This is nice because this just simply asks for a CSS file. And using this method in here, CSS URL, it's going to format it for me as I want to see it done. So now double checking ourselves. Just want to make sure that that works as I want it to, and the site pulls up, and great. So I can go and view the source on here and take a look and make sure that that link pulls through, and you can see it does. There's a new structure. Okay, that's what we want to do, and I'm going to do the same. I'm going to pop this thing out and add in my logo right now. You might think that it's a little early to start planting images, but as I'm doing the CSS, I really want to be sure that the spacing and everything I'm working on with respect to graphics is going to work out okay. Now, if I come back in here, you can see that I do indeed have a logo that the client has given me. So now what I can do is, instead of having this right here, I can pop this in and say, I need to have an image tag here. And inside there, I am going to ask it for like that. And since this is inside of an anchor tag for right now, I'm going to just turn the border off. I'll probably have to correct that as I go in to my styling here just a bit, but I just want to make sure that this works. Oh, but before I do, I should probably make sure that I spell URL properly. It's kind of a hard word to misspell, but I just did. And if we go and run this to make sure that our images are coming up properly, and there it is, AdventureWorks, everyone's favorite gear on the net. Working with CSS can be daunting at times and not really fun, but if you have knowledge of the tools that are at your disposal, it can actually go quite rapidly. So what I generally like to do is have two windows open side by side, and here you notice I have Internet Explorer open, and I have Visual Studio with all the styling right here. Well, what I also want to really make sure I pay attention to is the way Firefox renders the page as well. And as you can see, everything pretty much matches up. But when it comes down to start working with padding and nudging pixels around, that will quickly change, I know. So right away, what I want to do is to make sure I have some tools that are going to show me how to work with those things straight away. So one of the things I wanted to show you right now was the IE tool that you can use. And I'll show the Firefox one in a second. It's called the IE Developer Toolbar. And if you open this up, it's really super handy. It shows up in the bottom of the page, but you can also detach it from there, and you can have it float in its own window. But I'm going to leave it docked right here. And one of the things I wanted to show you that's super handy is you can see the document structure right here on the left side. If you click this little button here, you can select by element. And as you hover over stuff, if you want to change the way something looks and feels, or you just want to see what something is, you just click it. Now in this case, I just clicked on something and it was the body. And so what I want to find under here is what is kind of holding all this stuff together, and it's the page class. So if I want to take a look at what the page is currently set to, or what it's inheriting and everything else, you can see all the settings right here, including you can see that the width is set to be elastic at 80%. So if I want to change that just to see how it's going to look, I certainly can. I can come in here and I can say width, and let's say I want to change it to 95%, and I want to see if anything breaks. I can do that, and you can see nothing breaks. That's kind of nice. I can also take a look at the way this is styled here, the footer. And I can come take a look at everything in here. And if I want to set this to be italics, let's say, I can set the font style to italic. And that's the way it looks. And it doesn't look so good with that font. So I might just leave it without italic. And I can remove this. And I can reset the size to something else as I move along. Now that's how you do it in IE. And it's pretty handy because as you start changing things, you can come back in here and then you can just pop the style in wherever it goes. With Firefox, what you can do is, if you have this little handy extension called Firebug, you can basically do the same thing. You can hit Inspect, and now you can just do exactly the same thing. And you notice how it's synchronizing now at the bottom of the browser page there, showing me how things are set. Specifically, I can take a look at the logo thing here, and I can hover over down here, and you can see how it highlights the certain things. This is going to become very important as I start troubleshooting later, which I'm sure I'm going to have to as I start nudging these pixels around. I finished up with the CSS here for the first iteration and feedback loop with a client. And all I've really done here is change the core font around. I've changed the background color. And I've tweaked the menu a little bit. So, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a second. But one thing I did want to point out is I kept all of the core classes and IDs as they were given with the template. I really like that structure. I think the team did a really good job with that. So I've just built on top of what comes with the MVC template. And finally, I've added a few styles here for displaying the data, and I'll get to that coming up soon. But first, let's take a look at the site. You can see here, it's pretty basic. Got the logo on top, got a stub of a menu here. Again, I know the colors and everything probably could use some help, but I don't want to spend too much time on that because it's really easy to start tinkering and you kind of lose sight of what you need to do. So this is kind of the mock-up here, this mock-up page. And what we're trying to go for is we're going for this look and feel of the Commerce Starter Kit. And that was sort of the goal I laid out for myself. I'm very interested to hear what you, the community, has to say about the design. And if you have any ideas, please do let me know. So let's keep moving here. Next thing I want to do is set up routes and start getting some data on the pages. I'm getting ready to build my routing out with Scott Hanselman here in just a second. But before I do that, what I want to do is make sure I have my catalog controller stubbed out and ready to go so we can test the routing against it. So the first thing I did is I created a catalog controller test class here. And as you can see, I have my test method ready to go, which is just basically to confirm that I actually have an index method. So if I try to run this, as you can tell, I'm going to get a compiler failure, and it's not going to work. So, you know, whether you do this or not is up to you. This is a little bit extreme, but I kind of like to do it because it reminds me that I have to come in here now and create this controller class. So let me do that right away. All right, here's my catalog controller, and I have a single method in here, and it throws a not implemented exception. So if I come back to the controller class, you can see now that the catalog controller does exist. So if I run this, I'm still going to get a build failure, or not a build failure, excuse me, I'm still going to get a test failure on this because it's throwing the not implemented exception. All I really want to know is that I get a result back from this thing. Now, this is one of those main differences between the builds of the MVC framework. This type of testing wasn't easy to do without mocking. Well, it's easy for me to do right now because the way they changed it around, what they're actually doing now is they're returning an action result as part of each action inside the controller class. When they return this, I can then take that result, cast it as I want to, take a look at the data, the context, and all these other things to make sure I get what I want back. Well, in this case, it's not returning anything. It's just throwing an exception. So now what I want to do is tell it to return a render view, and I'm going to tell it to render a view called index. So now when I run this, all I'm testing here is that there's an index method. That's all I'm testing. Very granular sort of test. So if I run this, I should get a pass. And I do. So that's good. There's my first test. Now what I want to do is write a test to make sure that that index method will take an argument, because that's what I want to do with the next step here. All right, here's test number two. And I'll widen the screen a little bit. And you can see now I have another method here that I'm going to be sending in a subcategory to my catalog controller. So the way that I'm having this structured is that the catalog controller is going to be able to accept arguments on the index method so it can show lists of products based on the subcategory passed in. This will become a little bit more apparent as I start working this out. But as you can see, I've already got a compile method on this. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to come back here, I'm going to change this around. I'm going to accept this in as a string, and then I'm going to call it a subcategory. Now again, I'm going to need this for the routing, so that's why I'm doing these tests now. So if I come back in and run this, I should get a pass on this. Oh, nope. So here I have to make sure I set a default. So what I'm going to do now, this is good because I broke my test, I'm going to just say empty string for now. See if this test passed. Go to my test view, and I'll run this. And the test did pass, and that's good. Well, obviously, this isn't ideal. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Scott Hanselman how to handle this in terms of a default. It is possible to pass in a null string. And so that is what I'm going to handle, because I do have the data to handle if we have a null string in here. And I'll talk more about that as I start preparing the demo here today. Okay, well, in preparation for adding routes to the MVC application, I've gotten online here with Scott Hanselman. Scott, how are you today?
I'm well. Yourself, sir?
Doing pretty good. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to me about this stuff. I know you're a super busy guy.
I had 3 minutes for you, Rob.
Thanks so much, homie. Well, one of the things I wanted to do before we get started here is I wanted to go to Phil Hack's blog. And I wanted to grab his super whamadine URL routing debugger. I can't really say that very well. You can go to hack.com and that URL up there. I basically went to his blog and just typed in routing debugger. And you come down here, you grab the zip file. He's got pretty easy instructions to follow. Okay, well, let's just get started. Scott, what I want to do here with this application is make it really flexible. And so I want to have a subroot, if you want to call it that, basically being store. So I'm going to type here that the URL that I'm after, which is something like, I'm just going to use localhost here, and then have it route to a store kind of root. And then the idea would be it's going to go to a category, subcategory, and then eventually a product by SKU, or I don't know what yet. So that's what I want to set up.
Right. And it's definitely a good idea to put that in your comments. I mean, what you're doing right there is a good idea. I would even make it specific. Like, what's an exact example of what you would want to grab? You'd want to grab,
sure,
you know, go ahead and make another line and say localhost/store/ then the name of an actual category, an actual subcategory, an actual product, just so you can really visualize that. Routes seem simple, but once you start getting 12 to 20 of those, you're going to thank Phil for putting up that routing debugger. There's a lot going on with routes. It's really important to remember that they happen in order, which has nailed me a couple of times. Routes are evaluated in order. And oftentimes, more than one URL can map to more than one route.
It's one of the most important, you know, aspects of the application, you know, entirely. So I'm just checking the data here. I haven't really looked at it too much. We have, let's just call them boots one for now. It's the product number. It's just test data. So this would be basically one of the URLs.
Okay. So that should map. That's our new test case there in a minute. Excellent. Okay.
So the action I'm going to map that to is the index. And I've set it up here in the catalog controller. And here's my index. It takes in a string category. Okay, so I notice here we have a route to get going with. This is kind of the main thing that most people can probably use unless they want to start getting, really custom on their routes. So like in our case, one strategy I'm trying to use here is by specifying store as the sort of, let's call it a subroot, I'm allowing to basically expand this application as needed. To encompass CMS and support, let's say, and other things. Do you have anything you want to add to that whole idea about routes?
So are you going to make store hard-coded, or is store going to be referring to an actual controller?
Store is going to be hard-coded.
Okay, so then we should make a new route, and we should try to translate your example there into something more real.
Sounds good.
So we can, you know, give it a name like, category.
All right, so I'm just going to copy and paste this stuff right in here.
Okay, so the controller in this case, it sounds like it's going to be catalog, and since you don't actually have catalog in your URL, we can just get rid of controller, and then where it says controller equals home there, we'll make that controller equals catalog.
All right, controller equals catalog, okay.
And then what's the name of your action that you're planning to head to?
Index.
Okay, so index is your action, and then you've got some constraints there for your parameters. Is that appropriate? That little regular expression for what we're going to be doing. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't know what line 29 does. So let's get rid of it.
There you go. It sounds like a good plan.
This makes the screencast all the more professional.
Exactly, because you know we're experts. We work for Microsoft.
So go ahead and get rid of that comment at the end of line 28. There, it's making me uncomfortable.
Okay.
All right, so we've got category as our controller, index is our action. We're going to have change where it says action and ID and call those subcategory and product.
Yep, there you go. Let's see, subcategory and...
So go ahead and add catalog in curly braces before the subcategory there.
Category, right?
Okay, so now we've described two parameters that are going to come in on the URL and they're going to get passed in to your index action on the catalog controller.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So the question is then, does your index action take both a string category and a string subcategory as parameters?
It does not. It only takes subcategory at this point.
Should it?
I don't know. I guess we could change that.
Well, you know, it kind of depends. There's two ways you can do that. You could make it take category and then give subcategory default, but then you'd have no way to pass subcategory in. So from my point of view, I would give your index two parameters, two strings, one category and one subcategory. and then I would add a default in the route.
Sounds good. Now, does casing matter here in the casing of the argument that we're passing in here and the one that we're specifying here?
I don't know. I don't think it does.
Okay.
We could find out.
Okay. And then,
okay,
so what
so
we're
going to... Exactly. Yeah. So ID is now your subcategory. So that little anonymous object there is your list of defaults. Now here you're putting in both category and subcategory, indicating that you want defaults for both.
Yep.
And this is a little dangerous, though. This is a little dangerous because you haven't put in your hard-coded word store yet. So this particular route will basically take anything slash anything and map it to your index.
Okay.
Don't you think? Okay. So that's something interesting to point out, that by virtue of the fact that your line 27 is not made really, really specific, it's made really, really generic. So you can have a couple of choices here. You can keep it towards the end and then count on your routes above it to catch things before that becomes your default route and everyone else kind of falls through. Or you could add something hard-coded in front of it like store slash. But I don't know whether store slash is something that you intended.
It is. I definitely want to have that in there because that's part of the strategy here is to have a subroute of store.
Yeah. So now by adding that hard-coded thing at the beginning of line 27, you're making things much more specific, and then you're less likely to get confused when you've got lots of routes later on.
I like that.
Cool.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to do here before we start testing this route?
Well, I would just run over to the catalog controller, drop a breakpoint in, and then throw our sample URL at it.
If I hit run, and we'll start with the web project here. Hopefully it'll open up the browser, and it'll set us a breakpoint if we're lucky. And it doesn't.
So what's happening here is that your first route is so generic in your global ASAX that it actually tried to see if it would match. So go back to your global ASAX, and you'll notice that you have controller there. So you actually go up to line 20. You said, I'll take anything that has a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it's, and you gave yourself defaults for both action and ID.
Mm-hmm.
So what you told the system was, it's okay to take any word and go looking for a controller.
Mm-hmm.
So your second route never fired.
Exactly.
So you have a couple choices here. You could reverse the ordering of your routes,
mm-hmm.
or since right now you have only a home controller, I would take the word controller on line 20, remove it, and call it home. And this is an ongoing process. You're going to find yourself changing your routes as you change your application. So don't feel bad that you think you've hard-coded something here. The great thing about routes is that they're two-way, and if you're doing things correctly, you can change them and change your whole application's behavior.
Awesome. Okay, so given that, I should be able to fire this thing up and have it work, hopefully, this time.
Good luck.
And look at that. We got a breakpoint.
So let's hover over our variables, featured, and the next one should be all items.
And we have all items. Excellent. So now,
cool. So
now,
hit F5 and switch back over there.
Okay.
And then put in /store/Scott/Rob.
Okay. I like Scott and Rob better.
I'm just saying. So I would expect us to be the parameters for your next.
And if I hover over, Scott.
Method
and Rob. I am a subcategory of you. And that's
very cool.
Yeah. All right, well, let's, for one last real quick thing here, what I wanted to do is to show how to use Phil's debugger thing.
Absolutely.
And what I'm going to do here is...
So all you have to do now is just add a reference to it from here. So grab that on you off of Phil's blog there, that line of code.
Yep. And so let's see, register routes, and we want to have this one right here.
Right, and it's really important to put that after register routes because... Phil's actually going to go back over your routes and change them. He's going to rewrite them to point to his handlers rather than MVCs.
Interesting. Okay, so if we run this right now, I should see a whole different output, ideally.
Yeah. He'll actually take over completely. One of these days, it'd be cool to chain it such that you could see these things at the end of your pages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, there you go. See how store is hitting the second row of your all routes table there?
Yep.
If we put things back the way it was, why don't you go back and do that real quick? Just run over to your global ASA.
Okay. And set this back to...
Take where we put in home, and then put that back to controller.
Right.
There you go. And then let's hit slash store again. So this was a bug before, and we couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have used the debugger to find out which route is actually hitting this.
There it is. Look at it. And we got a match
there
request.
There you go. True. So our first route was hitting it, and that was the problem. Thank you.